Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. It's Ashley and it's Ben. He's back to recap episode 3 of Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm in Nashville right now. Humane Hope United has board meetings, and so I was in Nashville. I'm in Nashville at the meetings, but we have a little break, and I said, hey, if I'm going to have a little time from the meetings, what better thing to do than get on here and talk Bachelor in Paradise with my friend Ashley? And we haven't sat down. I mean, we've kind of like missed each other throughout the fall season. Obviously, I was in Vegas. You were in Italy. We got to catch up on that. And then now it's kind of end of the quarter board meeting season. So I'm going to kind of be in and out for the next 2 weeks, but then we'll be right back at it. We're still watching Paradise. We still enjoy Paradise. This is, say, the momentum for Paradise feels like it's definitely picking up after episode 3. And today we're going to have Genevieve on, kind of the star of the show, I would say.
Seriously, definitely one of the stars.
Yeah, I like Genevieve. She was in Vegas with us, Ashley. And I kind of mentioned this to you the last time we were together. But I said I could just see what kind of person she would be on the beach by who she is in person, and some might love her. I think she's going to have a massive following. Some might not like her. She definitely reminds me of a lot of the characters that we remember from Paradise of the past.
Totally. Yeah. She is like not afraid to be dramatic or have a lot of feelings really fast, vocal about them. And I love that. So we'll have Genevieve on in a little bit and we'll talk all about her storyline with her, of course. But before we get to her storyline, which was a huge part of this episode, let's talk about some other things that went down during this episode. So first we start with the cocktail party. That's where we left off. And I guess there's a couple things going on, of course. One is that Jacob is basically the bachelor in paradise. He is probably the guy with the most rose up for grabs. You know, like he has no firm connection to anyone. And we see Lace and Kira and Haley particularly going after him. No big loves, I don't think, coming out of any of those relationships. But he's got to give his rose to somebody.
Did you see this one coming, Ashley? I mean, I think as a viewer, we see a guy show up to the beach shirtless, very little on his body. And you're thinking this guy is just there. I mean, here's the deal. 2 years now, Ashley. I kind of didn't finish my thoughts there. So let me finish my thought and then finish my second thought.
Okay.
My first thought is he shows up to the beach pretty much nude. It's a lot of attention, a lot of laughs. And we think, hey, that's for show, right? He's the one guy willing to do this. However, we saw last season with Kenny work out really well, and now we're kind of seeing it with Jacob. Now, like you said, the love connection might not be there, but he does get the attention I think he was seeking, and he's not without some affection. And so is this the new strategy? The guy that shows up at the beach naked that's ripped gets all the attention, I guess.
Well, it's great for a week that he has the rose, but not necessarily the weeks that he doesn't have the rose, because you do usually need to have a pretty good connection going forward, or at least a really solid friendship. And I don't even see him having a really solid friendship with any of these girls. But it is quite entertaining when we see Kira try to woo him over with the petals or whatever, like the big tropical leaves on all of her private parts.
It's revealing. I mean, we can say that, right?
Yes. But it seems like the couples we have going into this rose ceremony are Michael and Jasmine, Serene and Brandon, and then Andrew and Teddy. Now, Andrew and Teddy totally fall apart later in the episode, but we'll get to that then. Another big cocktail party storyline is who is going to give Victoria a rose. You know Victoria is gonna get a rose, but is it gonna be from Justin, who she went on the date with, who still has a love triangle with Genevieve, or is it going to be from Johnny, who kind of comes out of left field? We don't see them interacting at all, really. Maybe a little bit in the episode in which she arrives, but she decided to take Justin. That was who she was going after. Then all of a sudden, she has interest in Johnny. But he's in a pretty solid-ish thing with Hunter. How do you feel about the fact that Johnny just abandons Hunter and gives Victoria, the siren? She's like the sexy siren. A rose after just really one sit-down.
Yeah. Well, I think we've seen it every season with Paradise, and we've talked about this before. You're in Paradise to date, right? I don't know what what makes Paradise beautiful is the boundaries and typical traditional ways of dating are kind of have to be thrown out the window, right? You're going to have to go on multiple dates with multiple different people, and you're going to have to live in the same place with those people at the same time. It's going to feel very intimate and very clustered and very confusing. That's what makes Paradise interesting. I don't necessarily mind the dating part of things and saying, okay, I'm into you, I'm interested in you, but I'm going to try and see if maybe somebody else gets my attention more. I feel like every couple that's worked, Ashley, I bet you could probably call me out on this and say I'm wrong, but it feels like most of the time, couples that really work at the end have split apart for a season or a couple episodes, and then they come back together and they realize just how special that other person is. That's my thought.
Are you saying that you think that Johnny may regret this decision?
I don't know. We don't know yet.
Okay. Well, we'll find out soon. We do also have Romeo hanging around, and Romeo. He's like basically crying at the beginning of the episode because he has nobody to give a rose to. Nobody wants his rose. It's pretty crazy to see people like being like, no, I do not want to accept a rose from you. You've messed up so much. Poor guy. But also not poor guy. Like somebody said, he got himself into this situation. That's true.
Very just, Blake Horseman-esque.
Oh, we can't compare Romeo's actions to that was a little fling off camera versus him sleeping with a whole ton of people at Stagecoach.
Fair enough.
Okay, maybe
fair
not enough. A ton of people, but two.
I get that, but it does feel very similar to what emotions are being like. People are upset with him because of this same stuff, right? Stuff was happening behind the scenes. I still don't have a problem with it. It's going to happen. I don't know when, as cast members, like, you're going to talk to somebody else in between your season in Paradise, especially when there's a year or so. You're out there dating, you're going to events. Like, I mean, I'm just happy that we get to watch it on Paradise.
Yeah.
Ashley, you did kind of skip over the Justin part. I wanted to ask you last week, and obviously we're going to talk to a few guests as we go. Are you surprised that Justin's getting the attention or kind of, I feel like he's one of the top people on the beach.
Yeah.
Women really like him. Are you surprised by that at all? Or did you expect that coming into the season?
Am I surprised that women like Justin? No. I'm not surprised. Yeah. I was expecting that. He's got a great personality and he's very cute. I liked being around him during our time there. I also think that we have to talk. Well, I want to address what you were just saying before you jumped into Justin.
Okay.
Romeo, like the problem with Romeo, Jared and I were talking on the podcast yesterday, is that he tells Kira, I'm not going to be with you because I really do want to put like my eggs in Jill's basket. And then
that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Okay. And then an hour, you know, hours later is like, hi, Brittany. I don't want my eggs in Jill's basket anymore. I want them in yours. And I'm going to continue with that comparison. So he just is all over the place. And that is why he got in trouble. It's not really for whatever happened off camera before, you know?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I do. I understand it. I don't know. I mean, how else could he have handled that, Ashley? You've been on the beach. You're on the beach this season. Obviously, you're a trusted voice and a voice of wisdom to the people trying to pursue each other on the beach. How could he have handled that better? Or what if you were down there and you're like, hey, Romeo, this is the next things you want to do. This is how you should do it.
I think what he should have done is basically just been like, hey, Kira, I'm not really interested in you. I am interested in seeing where things go with Jill, but I'm not ready to, of course, commit to that because there are some other people that I have my eyes on. So I'd like to get to know Jill Moore and other people. I do think that in hindsight, he may have used Jill as an excuse to get rid of Kira in a nice way where he wasn't exactly saying, it's not you. It's, you know, like, it's not, like, I don't like you, you know?
That would be wrong, right?
Yeah.
Not okay.
Yeah.
You use somebody to get out of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do you think, I mean, at this point in time, obviously you've talked about Jill before, you know Jill. How do you feel like she's handling the beach?
How do I feel like Jill's handling the beach? I mean, yeah. Hilariously and amazing. And I love it so much.
You're proud of her?
Yeah, so proud. We're going to have her on the podcast tomorrow.
Right.
Everything that comes out of her mouth is so funny and over the top. She tells Romeo, she goes, our ship has sailed and it's already landed at the Middle East. It's already at the Middle East. It's so good. I love her so much. Let's see. What else? Okay, so should we just go into the rose ceremony and what happens? Like we said earlier.
There's so much here, Ashley, we have to talk about with Genevieve.
Yeah, so much of the show.
Yeah, let's break down the show. Let's break down her big chunk of the show with her. I mean, who better to talk to about it, right, than the person herself. And so let's get into the rose ceremony.
Yeah. The rose ceremony has lots of roses that we really don't know where they're going to. Like I said earlier, we just know that Andrews is probably going to Teddy's, which it does. Brandon's going to Serena and Michael A. to Sierra. Now we have Logan to Shanae, which also isn't particularly surprising, but it's not like they're like glued. Then we have Casey giving his rose to Brittany. We haven't seen a lot of either of these two yet. I don't think that there's some great romance going on there.
Yeah.
I love Brittany, and I have no idea why all these men aren't fighting for her. She's got it all. She's the total package. We'll see if that changes. Then we have...
Confusing to me, too.
Okay, good. I'm so glad that you... Jared will go on a rant. Jared wanted to go on a rant yesterday, but I was like, Jared, that would be like... you would kind of be spoiling things if you said that you knew Britney. You know what I mean? Because we didn't see the rose ceremony until this episode. He and I just told her like every hour, we don't understand. Why isn't everybody coming after you? You got it all. Anyway, well, again, hopefully that does change and somebody comes in for her. Then we have Jacob to Lace. I would have thought it was going to go to Kira, but whatever. Whatever. I'm glad it's Lace. So glad it's
really
Lace.
Really pulling for Lace this season. Yeah. Big Lace fan.
Of course. All of us are. So then we have Justin to Genevieve, which is the shocker, and we'll address it later with her. And then we have Johnny to Victoria, which is a huge shock because, I mean, he and her only had that one conversation. Then we have Romeo apologizing to Jill, saying that he made mistakes and hurt her. He wants the rose to go to her for a fresh opportunity to work on their relationship or for her to explore new connections. So he's just leaving it open-ended, which is that's a good move. Good job, Romeo. And then Jill says yes, because she knows that nothing in paradise is guaranteed. Kira, Hunter, and Haley go home. None of that is super duper surprising. Haley was an obvious choice at going home.
Yeah. Here's a couple questions for you, Ashley. Okay. So, one, I just want to make the comment that Haley might have the shortest average stay on the show of any contestant ever.
Why?
I mean, I think she was a night one-er, wasn't she?
Was she a night one-er?
On her season of The Bachelor, I believe she was a night one-er. And then she's, I mean, what? Really, how far in are they? A week into the beat?
Yeah. Like, so she got eliminated at the first rose ceremony both times.
Yeah. I mean,
poor girl. Hey. But also, like, she's a little too, she just, I don't know. There's something about her that doesn't make me, like, want to hang with her.
Hey. Obviously, people in paradise don't want to hang either.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket. You know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit BARTESIAN.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to: hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Second question for you is, out of these relationships that are formed from the first rose ceremony, obviously you just ran through them, if you had to put your money on two of these relationships to make it to the end, who would it be? I mean, I think we have to take Brandon and Serene out of this, because that's like, let's go with somebody other than those two.
Okay. Well, people are going to know that I'm like lying, because like I know where a lot of these relationships go, even just in the following week, because we're there for a week. So I'm not going to. So I'll say who I'm interested as a viewer in seeing where things go, because they seem very strong now. Does that make sense? Is that a good way of wording it?
That's a fair way of wording it.
Okay. Yes. It seems like Michael A and Sierra would be the second strongest couple following Brandon and Serene.
Very excited to watch how that goes.
Uh-huh. And then after this rose ceremony, I don't feel strong about anybody else, except for, I guess, wow, I would feel strong about Andrew and Teddy, but then we see at the end of the episode where Andrew and Teddy go. So I'm not feeling strong about anybody. I think it's kind of typical of Paradise to only have like that one star couple at this point that you just know is smooth sailing.
Yeah. So if you're all right, before we continue on here, Ashley, if you're a strong couple in Paradise, if you are a weak oneer where like there is a love connection, everybody knows it. Producers know it. Other people know it. Are they going to mess with you? Like, are they going to protect your relationship and try to continue to foster it and make it healthy and work to the end? Or do you think that this typically will get rocked a little bit. They'll have to make it through some rough patch. And then at the end, we see them either come back together or choose not to. What's the typical, what do you typically see and expect in paradise?
I typically would expect one couple to be smooth sailing pretty much the entire time where their relationship doesn't get messed with. And I think that'll be Brandon and Serene. Those are also the couples that like barely get any screen time because like they're just in love and a little bit boring for the audience. I'm excited to see that date though that is previewed at the end of the episode where Serene says like she's never seen anybody look at her the way that he looked at her. And that was like adorable. He also, we get a teaser of him saying that he's falling in love with her. They're going to be cute to watch. But again, like we're not going to get like any drama from it. So they're not going to be seen a ton. Then there'll be like one or two relationships that have to stand like tests and intruders and all that. And
I like the intruder comment.
They are intruders.
New people to the beach. Beware. If you're a strong couple and you are just like hanging out, what are you doing all day? Are you just sitting there cuddling and kissing and talking, or are you like swimming in the ocean? Are you just laying by the pool? Are you just having drinks? I mean, if you know you are the boring couple who is like, I just want to get out of here with you. Like I would leave today and leave this beach. What does your day look like?
Your day looks like a lot of just sitting around by the pool.
Sounds awesome.
If you want to go, it's not bad life. Not a bad life.
No.
Some people get bored, and I can see that, but you do have so many people to talk to. So, and then there's like a lot of good food to eat, and there's a lot of good drinks to drink. And I don't go in the water because it's very scary in there. The undertow is strong.
You don't go in the water.
No, but the pool, people are in the pool a lot. The pool is really warm.
Oh, well, thanks for the insight, Ashley. All right. So the next scene is the next morning after the rose ceremony, when people are waking up tired because these rose ceremonies seem to last till what? Like,
oh, the early ones. I don't know why it is like that in paradise, but again, it's just like the regular season.
Yeah.
The early cocktail parties are so long and so late. They get a little bit better as the season goes on, but oh my gosh, it's probably around 4:30 when the final rose is given out.
And then you wake up at what time?
Oh, it's so evil because there's usually an intruder that comes down that morning and they're waking you up by 7:30, 8, and you're working on like 3.5 hours.
That seems like it. And it's probably not a good 3.5 hours. You're probably a little drunk. It's hot, sweaty, you're tired, you're emotional, you've been nervous. It's weird. And then 2 hours later, you're back up out of bed on national television, waking up. And that's what we see the next morning.
So the first intruders, can I just call them intruders forever now?
I like it. I think it's going to stick.
I think it really works.
I think they're intruders.
Yeah, they are. The next morning, we have Aaron and James come in.
Okay.
All the girls are like so into Aaron and James. It's actually funny because I think of them as like a comedy duo, not as like this beefy hunk cake.
Kind of remind me of Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah.
Like they like would come in with their head like, you know, shaking on the side, shirts off, like, what's up, girls?
Yeah.
How you doing?
It's so funny because I think that's like true to Aaron's character. And not so much James. I have to say that when we were with Aaron and James, like James seems super sweet. Like there's nothing like bash brothery really about his aura, right? He just seems like a lover, not like a fighter. But I was like, Aaron, you're so annoying on TV. I was like, I've talked so much back about you because you just seem like you're always looking for a fight. You're like, oh, I want to fight. Always angry. I'm like, I'm angry. And then in real life, he wasn't like that at all. He was so fun.
Yeah.
And lighthearted and choky.
Yeah. I mean, he does come off very angry. Like, stuff sets him off quickly. It is. It's odd. I mean, it's the reason why you said, hey, I'm glad you told him that. Aaron, I've talked a lot of smack about you because I don't know what it is, but you have like 4 or 5 moments that like are definitely not easy to watch. I am excited to see Aaron on the beach because obviously Shanae is there. Genevieve is there. This was a controversy at Mintel All. few seasons back.
Crazy. That was crazy.
Crazy. So it is, I mean, he does kind of bring the outside story that we all know and are aware of into Paradise. And so now we get to watch as fans being like, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah. It is going to be interesting. Well, then we see the date. And it's actually drama-free. It's crazy. Yeah. But we do need to talk to Genevieve about that, about her relationship with Shanae and how it changed so quickly, and her decision to go on the date with Aaron when she was leaving Justin, who so generously gave her the rose the night before, even though they were not really on the best terms.
I will say this, Ashley, when we're in Vegas, you know, I'm fairly distant. You were obviously on the beach this season. So you were there, you've got to see the behind the scenes, you got to meet these people in person. I typically am now just a viewer, commentator, opinion setter of my own here on this podcast. But with Genevieve in Vegas, I got to sit down with her and ask her, like, hey, was that thing with Shanae real? She says very much so. It hurt her. She was upset about it. But then she did tell me, and we'll get into it with Genevieve here in just a bit, but it was cool for me to hear that her and Shanae were able to talk on the beach, reconcile and heal, and both move forward, right? That's a big deal. And I think sometimes as viewers, we just think this is like fantasy land and fake, and they're actresses and actors, and that none of this actually affects the real life of these humans, but it really does. And hear that the beach, once again, gave that redemption story to something at some level, right, is... it's exciting and also really cool, right? It's the, I think ever since the Thomas Jacob scenario, I said this beach can be used for a lot of good. People let it. Now, they don't always have to let it. If they want to, the beach does feel like that place that kind of wipes the slate clean and helps everybody start over and say, hey, what have I learned the last time you saw me on a dating show?
Yeah. Before we get Genevieve on, let's talk about the one other huge storyline of this episode, and that was Teddy and Andrew. So I come in, and I could just vibe Teddy was not super into Andrew. She vocalized that she was oddly not as physically throwing herself at him as she'd like. She was like, I came in for him. And I think that we have a good thing, but she didn't feel like an overwhelming passion for him. And I don't know, like, I guess it was Rodney walking in. It was all very weird. It was a little strange. So Rodney walks in, and apparently this gives Teddy a little flutter in her heart. And that didn't make her feel good about her relationship with Andrew. She's like, I shouldn't be feeling that. She pulls Andrew aside and tells him, I wanted to just be with you here. You came for me, I came for you. And as much as I'm feeling like I like you, I'm not feeling like I really like you. And she ends up feeling so bad about her lack of passion that she decides to leave and doesn't even tell anybody. It's strange. Like, do you find that strange to leave without one saying goodbye and then to leave just because the one person that you expected to have a great romance with didn't end up in a great romance? That's not how Paradise is traditionally supposed to work. If you go with your eyes set on someone, you're like, oh, I'm excited to see them, excited to get to know them, see if there's anything there. But then when you actually, but if in real life it doesn't really hit, well, then you have other options. It just seems like, I guess Teddy's just not comfortable with the format of Paradise, which is totally respectable.
Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to ask Teddy. I would assume that she in her mind thought, this is going to be controversial. This is going to add some type of drama, right? No matter what, if I go on another date with another person, you know, this isn't working out the way I thought it would. I came, you know, really hoping this worked. It didn't. And then she decided to leave. So she obviously, I think what we can there is like, she's choosing to be not involved in the drama over her ability to maybe find somebody in paradise. And I have to respect it. That's not an easy decision to make. You're so early on in this process. It's probably fun. It's still exciting. If you're single and you're ready to mingle, the paradise is an amazing place for it. And she's saying, hey, I just need to go. This obviously is not going to go out the way I thought it would. And as interested as I am, maybe in somebody else on the beach, it's not worth it for the pain that would cause. Now, saying goodbye would have been nice. But I respect it.
She definitely didn't want people to try to argue with her to stay. She didn't want the convincing.
She didn't want the convincing. I respect it. I am saddened by it because I feel like, you know, before the season started, we said Teddy is going to be sought after. She's going to be somebody on the beach that people love. People are very interested in. She was obviously talked about a lot. And we didn't get to see her enough during Clayton season. We saw her, you know, get the first impression rose, and then she kind of disappeared. I was wanting to know more about Teddy. We just didn't get it. And that's a loss for us as viewers. But a respectful decision, I feel like, on Teddy's part. I'm not upset by it.
Yeah, she probably just doesn't like being on the show. You know, some of us love it. And then some of us are just like, you know what? It's not for me. It's probably not for Teddy. And that's totally cool. All right, let's get Genevieve on.
I enjoy it. I'd love to be in paradise. I just, my life never worked out that way.
You had to go to Winter Games instead.
Yeah, there
you go. Okay, so let's take a quick break and then we're going to get Genevieve on.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that's just speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the diaper stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to, hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns, ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
As promised, this is the Almost Famous Podcast, and we have on this podcast the absolute best guests every current season of the show. And we have a top guest today, Genevieve, who I've talked about from meeting in Las Vegas, who I really enjoyed hanging out with. I didn't get to hang out with everybody enough because iHeart kept me busy, which I did enjoy as well. But Genevieve, welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast.
Thank you, Ben and Ashley. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here.
We will have to talk to you about Genevieve. You talked in Vegas and you were like, I don't know how paradise is going to be for me. And I said, I think you're going to be a main character just from meeting you. I think your storyline is going to be like a roller coaster. And I believe everybody is going to enjoy watching you on television. And so far, my first question for you is, are you having an okay time watching yourself on television? Or is this as brutal as you were nervous about?
No, I think you got me at my worst right before it aired. So I was like really anxious. It is okay. I do think it's fine to watch myself because I'm just kind of like all over the place and it's just funny. But I mean, seeing myself be very emotional, it's not fun to watch. And like just seeing how my reactions played out, it's not great to watch back, but I can learn from it.
So people, you know, gave me the same flack for like being so invested in Jared so fast. And that's sort of what we see with you and Justin. And it's really easy to be a viewer and to be like, oh my God, why does she think that they're a real thing after one day? For some reason, Bachelor in Paradise rules are, or feelings are so much different than in the real world. So did you, I don't really know what question I have from that statement, except for like, do you want to explain to people how it's different and like how intensely you were feeling after just one night?
Being on the beach, you are with the same people 24/7. You do everything with them. And if you're forming a connection with someone, I mean, that connection forms very quickly when you are just constantly with them, getting to know them, learning more about them, seeing how they are in a private setting when you're on one-on-one, seeing how they are around other people. So one day does not feel like a day in paradise, I have to say. It feels a lot longer. And I would say emotions can form very quickly.
Now, the only thing I have to say as far as like a criticism with how you possibly dealt with things is that I think that you have every right to feel as sad as you were when Justin went on the date. But looking back, do you feel like he did all the right things and, you know, in preparation of going on that date? Like, he did come up to you and explain that he was going to do it. I don't think he messed up at all, but I think that while that being said, you still have every right to your feelings. But do you think you did get too upset about him deciding to go on a date with another girl, just like day two?
Yes, definitely. I definitely was too upset because I spent all my time. I was 100% invested in Justin. So I was very upset. And I definitely was in my head. I was too upset and too emotional about it.
No, I think you could be upset for sure. But like mad at him is probably.
I wasn't angry at him until the conversation after when he got back, because again, these had been silly things, but he didn't talk to me for about an hour. He was talking to the guys. He went to shower. And like, I just wanted an answer. I was waiting all day for him. And so I wanted him to come talk to me right away and just give me an answer. And then our conversation also, I had a connection. I feel a stronger connection with her. I feel a stronger connection with you. And he didn't give me, he gave me absolutely nothing. He didn't really even tell me he was still interested, like really interested in me. So,
well, he said he was tough. Confused.
I wasn't angry at him during the day. I was not angry. I was just so sad during the day. So sad during the day. But then after our conversation, when he got back, I did get angry because I felt he should have come talk to me right away. And again, I shouldn't be angry at that. He has the right to talk to his friends first and everything. But I was upset all day waiting on that. So I think I just wanted to talk to him.
But
that fueled the anger.
He did say that he was confused. So when he said that, like I thought he was alluding to being kind of torn between you guys. And then you said, I either want him to be totally in on me or totally in on her and let me be. Do you, I
regret saying
that. Yeah, do you regret? I was going to say.
100%. That is one of the few things that I actually do like regret saying, because that's not how it is. Like you have to explore. You have to get to know both people. I mean, and I was saying you have to know after one day, but you don't. You really don't have to know after one day. And like looking back, I'm seeing that. So that was definitely.
Exactly. Jared loves you. You know that. And he was talking yesterday on this podcast and he was like, he knew you for 24 hours and he knew her for 6 hours. It's like, I think that he has the right to be confused and unsure of which direction to go into at this point. But I just want to also reiterate, when you're there and all this is happening to you, you can't help how you respond sometimes. Well, of course you can help how you respond, but like you're just living your life and the camera happens to be there and we all make some,
that's the thing, you forget that there's cameras in.
Yeah,
you forget the cameras are and that that matters, but like you're just full raw emotion and it's all being filmed. But no, when I said he has to either choose one, I mean, that was so silly. I think I don't know what was going on in my head. I was so upset. I really was just so upset. And I don't know, but I do regret saying that. And I don't think that someone should be able to come back from a date and just make a decision right away. I don't think it's that easy.
Now, let me ask you both, because the thing that Genevieve, I don't know you as well as I know Ashley, obviously, but I get the sense that you both, if Ashley was mad at me as her work husband, as somebody who, gets to talk to her a couple times a week, she would tell me like very quickly. I have no concern about Ashley hiding it, pressing it, pushing it down. If I hurt Ashley, she would tell me. I have a feeling you're very similar, right? You are authentic and transparent. And even if your reactions are not things that you are going to look back on and be like, yeah, I handled that perfectly, I'm at least going to know where you're at. Like, I'm at least going to know what you both are feeling at that given time. And so to help this make sense for anybody out there listening and for myself, who has never been to the beach, when this scenario happened, you're dating somebody, you're into somebody, you're starting to, have very strong feelings for these people, and they go on another date and then they come back. What's the closest real world feeling that you could relate it to? I'm going to throw out some ideas, right? Do you feel like you're being cheated on? Do you feel like you're being broken up with? Do you feel like you're being betrayed? Do you feel like you've been strung along? Like, what are the closest kind of real world relationship things that you could try to, hone this in and say, that's what I was feeling at that time.
You feel like you're about to be broken up with.
I would say you're about to be broken up with. They found someone new. And
yeah, it's that feeling of like, okay, it's not completely over, but I know the end is so near, and like the anxiety is just rushing through me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like for me, tell me if I'm wrong, but if I'm sitting there and somebody did this to me, I would start to compare and I would start to get really down on myself. Wait, what? Why wasn't I good enough? What do I not have? What am I missing? What's wrong with me? Do you two have that same thing kind of go through your head?
I mean, that's exactly what was going through my head.
That's tough. That's hard.
Yeah. The fact I was the first one that had to kind of be the one sitting back while the person I was interested in went on a date. It was definitely very hard. Victoria's beautiful. She's amazing. I love her. And so it's hard to not compare and be like, well, she's beautiful. She's funny. She's awesome. I'm sure they're going to have a better connection. And then you just start getting even more in your head. It doesn't help at all.
There's something about Paradise, which is different from the main show, which you just feel the comparison way more strongly. Like on the main show, of course, you can kind of you'll be like, oh, she has that. She has that. Or he likes her because of this, blah, blah, blah. But there's something about Paradise where you feel like more of a direct competition with the person that your love interest is going on a date with. We got to jump ahead. He ends up giving you the rose that day over Victoria. Do you think that was because Victoria was showing interest in Johnny? Or do you think that Justin really wanted to give you guys another chance?
I think that it was 100% because Johnny was going to give his rose to Victoria. And Victoria was into Johnny. And I think he could sense that.
Hmm. Okay. So then the next day, you guys have a sit down. A little bit before the guys come in, James and Aaron, and you're like, Aaron's probably not into me. I've met him twice before. I wouldn't worry about him taking me out on a date. And let's address the drama that you guys had as this circle with Shanae and Aaron and you on TV, sitting next to you on a couch. Shanae accused you of having slept with Aaron already, which is craziness. Where did that rumor originate from? And how did she have the balls to say that?
I don't know how she had the balls to say that. But the rumor, I had met Aaron at a bar and I had posted a picture I think on my story. And so I guess that's where she got that from.
But like, how did you like come up with, you see a picture and imagine, and then like from a picture.
That's the only context there is.
That's insane. That's
actually, she does, we talk about it on the show. So she does say like, she doesn't know where that came from. Okay. So she just, I mean, yeah, but it definitely is not true. We both have addressed that. And then I did sit next to him after the final rose, and those seating is assigned. We did not pick those ourselves. And that was it. So I met him twice, very platonic, and there's never anything. And I did say, like, it's not that there couldn't be anything. I do think he's handsome and he's nice, but there just wasn't there yet, at least.
So, okay. So when Aaron does ask you out, how did you feel about broaching this with Justin? Did you end up going over to Justin and talking to him and being like, hey, like, how do you feel about me going out with Aaron? Or did you feel like you didn't have to do it at that point?
Oh, I did talk. I, of course, talked to Justin about it. That's the first, like, right after I talked to Aaron, I talked to Justin. I don't think that him going on a date would excuse me, like, would make it okay for me just not have a conversation with him. I asked him, it'll be okay. He said, like, yeah, go. I personally didn't think I was going on the date. I know when,
but we
Aaron
didn't
walked,
see this, right?
When Aaron walked down, I said to Justin, we saw this. I said, I promise I don't think it's going to be me.
Yeah. But we didn't see the second conversation. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. So we didn't see this conversation, but of course I talked to him. I mean, like, I would have never just left and said, I'll probably be thinking about you. I wouldn't have done that. I absolutely had a conversation with him and asked him how he would feel. He said it would suck, obviously, but go. So.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit BARTESIAN.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Paradise is messy.
So messy.
Viv, I want to pause here. And I always love listening to Ashley talk to people about Paradise because she just has a great perspective on it and a work for it. But you going in, and just to pause, obviously, here, did you feel like it could be this messy? Did you realize how hard it was going to be to make the right decisions and to find love interests and to pursue people well while other people are coming to the beach? Or did this become a lot more than you expected very quickly?
You said it perfectly. It was a lot more than I expected very quickly. I went there. I just had such high hopes I was going to leave engaged, honestly. And I went there with such a positive mind. And then once you spend all your time with someone, it really does affect you when they get taken away to go on a date with someone else for a whole day. In Paradise, a whole day is a lot of time.
Yeah.
So it it's a lot more than I expected. I thought I would be able to kind of go through, handle my emotions better. I thought I would be able to control them much better. But I saw, I really wasn't, I guess I just acted how I was feeling in the moment. And I know it was all genuine how I was acting. But it doesn't excuse it, but yeah, it definitely is harder than I imagined or than it even looks.
I always say it's like emotional boot camp there. People, you know, of course we sit down on the couch and we criticize and we go, how do they feel like this so fast? We make fun of everyone, you know, as a viewer, like I know how easy it is to do that. And it's funny, sometimes I'll watch the show with my mom and she'll be like criticizing and critiquing people in situations that, whether I know the contestants or not. And I get so defensive. I'm like, Mom, like you, I was here. Like, you can't say that. Like, I know exactly what's actually going on here. And I think that as hard as it is, you do have to like give the cast even more grace when they're in paradise, because it's a situation that you can't even fathom. Like, I almost feel like the viewer can fathom a little bit what it would be like to be on The Bachelor. It's definitely an experience that translates a little bit more through TV. Paradise is so much more emotional than anything I could ever imagine going through. When I went there, I remember saying to the producers, you guys are going to have to like force me to like someone. I'm not going to like someone. And it's like, just, it's hilarious. It's funny how much you feel there. And it was fun being there with you guys because we got to see you guys go through it all that we went through and then not have to do it.
Right? Because you guys are you're happily married. Yeah. So you're getting to watch it all.
Yeah, but I know all the turmoil you guys are going through, and I just kind of want everybody out there watching to be like, it's easy to judge, but if you were in the situation, you'd be just as ridiculous as everyone there.
It's a long, they are long days and nights for sure.
Long.
Hard. Yeah, it's hard to, be all there, I guess.
Yeah. So you end up going on the date with Aaron and it goes really well. From a viewer's point of view, I see more chemistry that you have with him than Justin. Justin at this point just seems like, I feel like that relationship, You kind of got it cut off. There's just like a lot of hostility there, a lot of defensiveness. When you were on that date with Aaron, what were you thinking? Did you have a clear-cut feeling on who you were choosing? Or was there still like a lingering, I like Justin back at home feeling?
No, see, that's the thing. So before going on the date, I thought I was going to go on the date and just want to go back to Justin. I thought I was going to have a fun time, but not be like romantically interested in Aaron. Mm-hmm. Then after the date, I was like so surprised at how well it went. And I just saw a side of him. Like obviously I don't know him. And I just saw the side of him and I actually, my decision was Aaron. Like on my way back, my decision was Aaron. And we don't see it yet, but yeah. I know that Justin and I are we're not good together, obviously. And I think he knows that too. I do think he gave me his rose, I don't know, maybe to see if there was potential. And of course, both of us like cared about each other and all that. But after my date with Aaron, it made it clear to me that Aaron was what I wanted.
Did you feel guilt about that? Knowing that he had given you a rose the night before and you were over it? Or you're just like, that's the name of the game.
No, I did feel bad, but at the same time, I do know Justin wanted to give his rose to Victoria. So I don't think if things went the way they did with Victoria and Johnny, I think I just said someone's name wrong. I don't think if things went as well as they did with Victoria and Johnny, Justin would have given me his rose. So, but I do, of course, it sucks to have someone keep you around and then be more interested in someone else. But at that point, I was just following my heart, and that's just all I could do.
And you don't want to be a consolation prize. Like, that's not how you're going to get engaged.
Exactly.
You're somebody's second choice.
Right. And then we had the roses the second week. So then after rose ceremony, we wake up and then it's kind of all, we were like almost pretending he was back to like normal, even though I don't know if we could have come back from that.
Yeah. What great timing though, huh? How crazy is it that Aaron and James show up to the beach the day after your dramatic rose ceremony and dramatic day?
I know. That day I thought I was going, I mean, I truly thought I was going home. And then, yep, the following day I found someone I was very interested in. So,
to talk about a couple of relationships that don't involve you, what do you think about Teddy leaving without saying goodbye to you guys?
It's crazy because I tried to do, like, I honestly tried to do the same thing. I tried to, I don't think I would have gone through it, but I was like, I want out and I can't bring myself to go say goodbye to these people.
Because you know you're going to be convinced to stay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And like, you know, it'll hurt. So, I mean, it is, I think it would have been nice for her to just go and just say a goodbye, just say like, and not even talk about anything, just say goodbye. She didn't have to explain herself because that's hard, and she doesn't have to explain herself either way, but that's tough. I think a goodbye would have been nice, but I do understand that like she was just feeling all the emotions and she just wanted out.
What do you feel about her just not giving anybody a chance and it being like Andrew or bust?
I think that has to do more with she didn't like the setting and like
that's what I thought
that she was in.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you would just leave if it didn't work out with one person.
Yeah.
I do feel like it was because it was a lot to deal with, like all of us, like we know, and she just didn't want to deal with it. And if it didn't work with Andrew, she just didn't want to continue and lead anyone on if she couldn't really handle it.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, Genevieve, we're going to let you go here. We've had some great time with you, but we really want to see you shine and thrive. Again, you were so much fun at the iHeart Music Festival, and we appreciate that. You made that trip really enjoyable.
That was a fun trip, so thank you.
Oh, I just thought of a question. While wrapping up, I thought of a question. How did you and Shanae get over that hump?
Do we see it?
We had a big conversation. Hump.
Okay.
We had a conversation on the couch and she apologized to me. She said she is honestly very sorry. We were both tearing up. Like this was a genuine, honest, like I truly felt it was a genuine apology from Shanae and that's all I wanted. And so she apologized for kind of making that up. She said she wasn't going to let me win on Clayton's season. So that's why she pulled the actress thing. And then she just made something up on the couch with the Aaron thing. Yeah. Oh no. She fully admitted it.
Yeah, I know. I know you said that earlier, but it's funny to hear her being like, "I just pulled it out of my ass."
Yeah. I was like, "Shanae."
Do we see that in a future episode, or is that gone now?
I don't know if they're going to show it. I'm pretty sure that was the day I was in the yellow bathing suit, so that was like the second day.
Oh,
but we had it a seems whole like
such
sit
a
down.
Good thing for us to see. I'm mad we
it
don't
was,
see
and
it.
I apologized for because I said at the Women Tell All, I said it looked like Shanae had a diaper because of like something under her dress.
Yeah,
I apologized. Yeah. Like she told me that upset her, and I truly apologized for it. And so we just got through everything that like are all of our issues, and then we hugged and we were like crying.
I don't know why we don't watch this stuff. This is the stuff I want to see.
Either.
Redemption. Like, come on now.
Me too. I feel bad because Shanae's not, like, she has been great and it's not showing that she's really is different this time around. So I do feel bad for that.
It's implied, which is weird. It's implied because everybody seems to be getting along with her. But yeah, there's definitely a gap in that storyline. Oh, we're getting word that says we show this conversation.
Got it.
So it is to come. It is to come. Okay.
Excited about it, team. Hey, it's to
Sorry,
come.
Yeah.
It's a great story. Genevieve shines. Shanae shines. Well, Shanae, again, we wish you the best. You're awesome. People need to
you
know
called
it.
Me Shanae.
Jeez. Genevieve. Hey, Shanae and Genevieve, they shine during this conversation. Genevieve, you are the best. We wish you the best. You're great. People need to know it. And you're great television. And I mean that in like
great
the
TV.
The most authentic way.
Thank you.
I'm happy you're on our screen.
Yes.
You keep things fun. So, hey, thanks for joining us
today.
Thank you
so much, Ben. Yeah. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Well, everybody, this is a great episode. The conversation with Genevieve, I thought, was really fun for me to listen to and also be a part of. It brings to light a lot of the things happening in Paradise. Ashley, I'm happy that I got to speak with you today about this episode because Paradise continues, I think, I'll say it, Paradise continues to be the type of television I like watching and I enjoy it. And I hope it continues throughout the rest of the season.
I am too. But until next time, I've been Ashley.
And I've been Ben.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.